Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
What on earth is going on with the in Israel with the Attorney General? Everything seems to be becoming a little bit confused. We've got the issue with Shin Bet. We've got the issue with the Attorney General. What's valid? What is not valid? Well, let's try and understand what those allegations are in terms of the Attorney General. And joining us to do that is Dr. Tal Mimran. He's an associate professor at the Tzfat Academy Academic College. He is also the academic coordinator of International Law Forum of Hebrew University. A very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Happy to be with you.
Great to be with you. So let's just talk about what these allegations are, because what we see here is often the protests, the noise, but we don't really ever understand what is going on in terms of the substantive claims. What are they?
So as it often happens, we have two layers. One is the public or perception layer, and the second is the layer of reality, of what's actually going on a day-to-day basis. Now, in relation to the head of the Shin Bet, it is clear that there is a problem in terms of trust between the prime minister and the head of the Shin Bet. They are working together, but they are far from being friends, so to say. At the same time, this relationship managed to work for the last 15 or 16 months since the outbreak of the war. And indeed, questions arise in relation to the timing. At the same time, There is also a sense that the head of Shin Bet is trying to fight back against the intention of the government. And in this regard, I think this undermines any legitimacy of an investigation by him and his organization against the prime minister and his office. So it seems that we are entangled in a situation in which both sides are operating in a way that undermines the legitimacy of the very institution that they are entrusted with leading. And this is quite a problematic situation. And indeed, we are seeing a difference in the approach of the protest in general and in the number of protesters. And if this was not enough, then comes the issue of the Attorney General, which is actually even more complex. Because when it comes to Ronen Bar, at the end of the day, he has responsibility, naturally, for what happened in October 7.
Of course. It's clear.
And it is much easier to explain the decision of removing him from office. But when it comes to the Attorney General, now this is a much more complicated story, which with a much deeper history, in the sense that the crisis between the government and the Attorney General began well before October 7. Now, the decision of the government to move ahead with the Attorney General is surprising, in my view, because I don't see a real chance that it will push through, as in order to remove an Attorney General from office, you need to go through a very long process, which has 8 steps, and which can take months. And during this period of time, you are just leading to more boiling of the situation, and you're increasing the antagonism of the public towards the government. And in this regard, it seems like it's not a very good gamble, even if the government wants to signal to its voters that they are finally fulfilling the promise which they made, which was to remove the Attorney General and to change the legal landscape in the state of Israel. Now, the fact that it is happening during the, it's not only during the war, it's during the phase in which Gaza is back in focus. After a few weeks where we had the hostage deal and where all sides had time to regroup, The IDF began with a surprise strike, which was very effective, and which proves itself as different from what we saw before.
Absolutely.
For example, in terms of striking political figures as well. And it is odd, in my view, that the government is operating in this domestic political dimension when we have our soldiers fighting, risking their lives in order to allow us to live our lives safely here in Israel. So indeed, a very perplexing situation.
What is the complaint that the government has about the Attorney General?
I must admit that there is a grain of truth in the complaints against the Attorney General, but at the same time, we must take it also with a grain of salt.
Right.
As the relation between the government and the Attorney General began bad and continued even worse. The Attorney General was nominated by the previous government, and the previous government was the first after many years, which was not a right-wing government led by Benjamin Netanyahu.
Right.
And during that time, the government, although it served for a very short time, around a year, they made significant changes. They nominated the head of Shin Bet, they nominated the head of the chief of staff of the army, and they nominated the attorney general. Now, there is, without a doubt, on an objective level, there is a difference in the way that the attorney general worked with the previous government when compared with the existing government. At the same time, the extent in terms of volume and also in terms of quality of initiatives which this government wanted to promote, either on the legal landscape or in other fields, is also completely different, in the sense that the previous government needed the advice or the support of the Attorney General in some intersections, for example, in the process, in the negotiation with Lebanon,
right,
or, for example, in order to nominate a chief of staff.
Right.
But with the existing government, it seems that we have several incidents during a week. And in every incident, it seems that the situation only gets worse. The sides become more defensive and more polar towards one another. So indeed, it seems like they cannot work together.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm not sure that this is good timing.
Do you think there's the fact that that the Knesset voted on this, and it was I don't know, passed, or if it was voted, the vote of no confidence, is that designed? Is that an important first step, or is that designed to pressure her to step down?
No, that's the first step, which can initiate the process. And now there is a need to reestablish the committee, which actually appointed the Attorney General back when she was nominated. And then there needs to begin a process, a judicial process, in which the government would present to the committee all of its claims, the Attorney General will respond, and then the commission will reach a conclusion. And after that, the government needs to meet again and to vote again. Now, the government is not obligated to follow the recommendation of this committee, but it will be very problematic if the committee will believe that there is no reason to remove the Attorney General from office, and the government will still push through. We have examples in the past.
Right.
In the past, the Attorney General were removed from office.
Right.
But it happened in situations, for example, where an Attorney General had a problem in ethical terms.
Right.
Either suspicions for criminal behavior or a complete disaster that was mismanaged, such as the crisis in Line 300 with the Shin Bet. And as you can see, the same circles resurface. It's the Shin Bet, the Attorney General, and the government. It is a triangle which challenges our domestic institutions time and again.
Are we seeing many people? Because the way in which I'm hearing it from you is reading between the lines that you understand the removal of the head of Shin Bet, therefore are almost supportive of that, but are not supportive of the Attorney General's removal, maybe because of timing and a whole lot of other things. Are we seeing a lot of people distinguishing like you are between the two, or are people seeing it as lumped together and saying, oh my word, Netanyahu is out of control?
First, personally, I think that there is logic or there is essence behind both moves. The government has a case to raise in both instances.
That's important to understand.
But at the same time, the timing indeed is highly problematic. And also, you need to look at the aggregated impact of everything the government does, not only one step or one action. And in this regard, I am concerned. I'm deeply concerned. As the discussion in the streets and also in the public sphere is becoming more and more absolute, in the sense that we don't have many complex views. We have two clear camps, one for, one against, and everyone are throwing anything they have into the discussion rather than trying to understand the different layers or nuances in the discussion. And this does not signal well. As this reminds me of course, the days of October 6th. This really feels like we officially got back to where we were before this horrific disaster reminded us who is the real enemy.
Yeah, and unfortunately it did. It took that, but a year and a half later, there certainly seems to be a move towards this type of discord. Is there, there's been a lot of talk about these protests being funded from abroad, from a Qatar. Is there discussion around that at all within Israeli circles?
So Qatar, Russia, Iran, and various states which are hostile towards Israel in many respects or full-fledged enemies, such as the case of Iran, are always involved with what is happening and with the public discussion in Israel. They're trying to promote influence operations through social networks. They are trying to recruit people that will act on their behalf. And in this regard, there is always involvement. In addition, when it comes to NGOs and entities which are involved in the protest, for example, ones which operate to promote women's rights, Palestinian rights, migrants' rights, and of course, most of them are funded by foreign states, mostly European states. At the same time, to draw a causal link and a direct link between the funding and the decision to protest, this is a bit far-fetched, because the fact that the state funds an organization does not mean that the state is involved and responsible and is accountable for each and every decision that the organization makes. It is not like the donor as a place in the board of directors.
Right.
That is not reality. So we are manipulating reality in order to exacerbate the domestic pressures and disagreements within Israel. And this is just but one example of that.
Dr. Tal Mimran, that's where we need to leave it. A very, very important conversation, bringing us a lot of sanity in this discussion. Thank you, as always. 847, give me your thoughts on 061-895-1019.